Israel's war cabinet is meeting again today to weigh possible responses to Iran's missile and drone attack last weekend. What was it like in Israel Saturday night? How did regular people anticipate and get through it? Let's put those questions to Alon Pincus in Tel Aviv. He is a writer and former Israeli diplomat who served under several prime ministers. Alon, welcome back.
Thank you, Scott. Good to be with you.
What is the mood you sense inside Israel after last weekend's attack? We do know there are very diverse communities there.
Now, obviously, I was just going to say, just like there's no average American, there's really no average Israeli. Israelis have been devastated and feel vulnerable and feel agonized ever since October 7th. Then came this adventure with Iran. And, you know, and people used sort of a lot of black humor about this because, to be fair, it didn't come out of the blue. The Iranians were threatening for 10 days to do so. And in the last week, there were growing signs, public signs, and they didn't know what to expect. But people did know that something is imminent. And then you have, you know, a small, tightly knit society with all due differences between the different groups. Rumors start to spread. It's going to be Saturday. No, it's going to be Sunday. And it tested people's nerves and anxieties to a limit that I haven't seen before. Here was an act of war from a country far away, and people feel exposed and vulnerable. There's no question about that. On top of which, let me add just one more observation here. They feel bad about Israeli intelligence and how the Israeli IDF performed on the 7th of October. Then you have, you know, the pundits, the critics. They're saying, look, the Iranian policy right now is being managed by a bunch of people who are shell-shocked from October 7th. So how could we trust their good judgment and prudence? And that applies to the question that everyone is asking right now, whether or not Israel is going to retaliate over the retaliation.
Alon, you know, you're the third Israeli I've spoken to who mentioned, you know, on that long Saturday night, early Sunday morning, people turning to dark humor, gallows humor, right, as a coping mechanism to just get through it. I don't want to make light of anything, but, you know, some people posted, oh, first direct flights from Iran to Israel since 1979, you know, dark
humor.
Yeah, we
all engaged in that.
If we're all going to, if we're going to be up all night, we may as well start the Passover Seder. Help us understand this as, you know, as a coping mechanism.
Well, it's exactly that, Scott. It's a coping mechanism. Okay, if you're sitting in an apartment in Tel Aviv or in Haifa or in any other place, and you sense that there is something coming, and you know there's absolutely nothing you could do about it. And it is a coping mechanism, because the next day, streets were empty, and, you know, and people stayed home. By Sunday night, you couldn't find a place in a restaurant, cafe, or bar.
But just to make sure I understand you, do you sense that, at least for a number of Israelis, there's a sense of security that was pierced Saturday night? Is that fair to say?
Yes. I think it was pierced on October 7th. With this Iran thing, it was further pierced. Now, look, people are very proud about the successful interception of most of those drones, cruise missiles, and surface-to-surface missiles. But let's not forget, this was defensive. It was not offensive, which is why that triggered the immediate natural response. Let's hit them back. Now, you know, professionals talk about restoring deterrence. The average guy in the street wants just to feel good about this. That, yeah, we could still do things. That, yeah, we could still defend ourselves by attacking, not by defending. But people also understand that escalation could be a horrendous thing.
Finally, Alon, and thank you for all these observations. The war in Gaza continues. Israel hit a mosque in northern Gaza. And in the occupied West Bank, Israeli settlers have attacked Palestinians after an Israeli teen was killed there. From where you sit in Tel Aviv, how are people following this? Or are they following all this?
Well, that's a very good question, because one of the complaints that the international community had toward Israel, and one of the complaints that people like me had throughout the last 6 months, is that in their natural rage and very predictable, want of revenge and vengeance, Israelis were completely oblivious to what's going on in Gaza. The same applies, per your question, Scott, the same applies to the West Bank. They just conveniently shrug it off and say, yeah, well, that's not the important thing right now. While it should be, because if you have a front in Gaza, a front with Iran, a potential front with Hezbollah in Lebanon, the last thing you want is another front opening in the West Bank, which is Israel's longest border, essentially. Conveniently ignoring these realities is not a good thing.
Alon Pincus is a writer, former Israeli diplomat, joining us from Tel Aviv. Alon, always good to have you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Scott. Anytime.